to the news. You can squeak with the blues on this wonderful, wonderful station. Just take a lively companion wherever you go. Take a portable radio. Take a portable radio.
Oh, the Radio Steph Show, episode 75, the Halloween edition. Hi there, I'm Larry Gifford, radio consultant and talent coach at LarryGifford.com. Coming up on this week's program.
The first time I went, something went missing. I'm like, I can't find the copy. Where did it go? One of the other women in the office said, oh, it's either Ben or Gus. They moved it. I'm like, who are Ben and Gus? They're like, they're the ghosts.
When it's quiet, you can hear things shuffling around. It's really strange.
It was a man, medium height, white dress shirt, thick black glasses, 60s buzz cut, you know? And I watched him and I thought, who's this guy and how did he get in? And he just vanished.
This is Halloween, this is Halloween.
This is a weekly show about radio for radio, available on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And we're changing our host server from Podomatic to SoundCloud, so you can just search Radio Stuff Podcast on SoundCloud now and find it. And soon we'll have all the archives there for you to check out and download. And for now, you can find all 75 episodes only at RadioStuffPodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at The Radio Stuff. Our top story, just in time for Halloween. Haunted radio station stories. We have three stories of radio station hauntings to share. Our first stop is Live 105 in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where Chris Potty goes to work every day.
I've been here for going on 4 years. And I've always heard rumors from people who work there about ghosts. And there's actually two, William and Catherine. Apparently William's an older gentleman who does not like our rock music. And Catherine's a bit younger, and she's a bit of a prankster. She likes to take things off people's desks and hide it.
Now, have you ever personally experienced the haunting?
I have. I've been in there when I started working promotions. I used to work pretty late nights, so I'd be in there at 1 o'clock in the morning, and you could hear noises. You could hear, it's a big building, there's three levels, and we have this area called what we call the Live Hive, and when artists come to town, this is where they play. They come visit us, they play a little performance for guests, and it's a little performance area. And it used to be a Legion, but when it's quiet, you can hear things shuffling around. It's really strange. We've actually had the paranormal investigators in. We had the guys from Paranormal Estate from the show on A&E. They came in, and they agreed with us that the place felt a bit spooky, although nothing happened the night they were in. And we had another paranormal team come in, and they performed some experiments, and their investigation proved that there was some signs of paranormal activity in the building.
And do you talk to the spirits at all, or do you do anything to try to get them out?
We have in the past when the paranormal investigators were in, we tried to antagonize them a little bit. They played with some of the lights, one of the flashlights that the paranormal investigator had. Kept flickering on and off, which was really strange. One of the guys said he could feel something kind of push him, which was really strange. And I had one experience that really freaked me out. I was in there one really early morning, and aside from the morning announcers, it was just myself in the building. And I went down to the basement because that's where all of our promo gear was. And it's an L-shaped hallway. Now, it's kind of hard to explain, but there's two doors situated right at the corner of this hallway that if you open them, they will block off the hallway. I went past that into another room where we had all of our promotion T-shirts. grabbed some t-shirts. I was in there maybe 30 to 45 seconds, just grabbing random shirts, so stocking up for the day. And when I came out, those two doors were closed off, blocking the hallway to the point where the door handles were kind of interlocked a little bit. So I shut one door, and when I went to shut the other one, there was a Rubbermaid bin in the hallway that I had to push with my foot, squeeze it, so I could squeeze the door by this thing. Then when I went towards the stairs to go back upstairs, it kind of dawned on me that, wait a second, that wasn't like that when I came down. And that's when I kind of got a little freaked out, and I went upstairs in the morning announcer. I asked him if he played a prank on me, and he says, no, man, we're busy. And I was ghostly white. I said, I'll tell you what just happened. So I told him the same story, too. So that was my big event of what happened.
And so how does it make you feel knowing you work in a building that's potentially haunted?
You know what? I've been there 4 years. It doesn't bother me. I'm a prankster myself. So if one of them's a prankster, bring it on.
Well, I don't know if this is the week you want to say that, but
yeah, wait till next week. Wait till November.
That's right. Well, hey, I really appreciate you sharing your story, Chris. Thanks for joining us on the Radio Stuff Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
And now we welcome into the Radio Stuff Podcast Julie Page Morgan. She's the best-selling author of Romances That Rock. It's a book about her former life as a rock radio DJ, gives her an all-access pass to the real world of rock stars. But what's not in that book is her experiences inside the radio station when nobody was there late at night, but something was going on. Julie, welcome to the Radio Stuff Podcast.
Thank you, Larry.
So where did you start your radio career?
I started my radio career on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, which was a fantastic place. The Mississippi Gulf Coast Coliseum had just opened, so there were hot and cold running rock bands through there all the time, and it was a great way to get started.
And then where were you when you first encountered something to skew inside of a radio station?
It was in a little town called Paragould, Arkansas. I had moved to Northeast Arkansas to go to college in Jonesboro, and I was working in Paragould at a station called KDRS. Small little AM/FM, but, you know, good local station to work at.
And what happened?
Well, the first time it happened, I was employed there three different times. And the first time I was the nighttime DJ. I was playing a song, and I heard footsteps that were coming down the tile hall near the vending machines. I couldn't see them from the control room. And at first I thought, you know, one of the salespeople had come in late or something. And I turned into a chick from a slasher film and yelled, hello! And nobody answered. So as soon as I started my next record, yes, vinyl, woo! I got up and I went and looked down the hall, and there was nothing. I had definitely heard men's dress shoes on the tile, but there was nobody there. I didn't tell anyone about it because I thought, well, you know, they'll think I'm crazy or, you know, ingesting something I shouldn't be on the air. So the second time I worked there, I was part of the morning team, and I saw the ghost this time. He was walking. I could see him through the windows that went into the AM control room and then into the break room. And it was a man. Medium height, white dress shirt, thick black glasses, 60s buzz cut, you know. And I watched him and I thought, who's this guy and how did he get in? And he just vanished. So the minute my morning partner got there, I thought, well, it's time to, you know, stop keeping this to myself. So I told Jerry and he said, oh, yeah, it's Ted. You know, like everybody knew who, you know. But Ted had apparently been one of the first owners of the radio station and loved it. And you know, it was his passion. And Jerry said people had seen him all over the years.
Wow. So how did that make you feel?
After I heard the footsteps, since nothing happened, it didn't really bother me. And then after Jerry gave a name and an identity to the ghost, it really didn't bother me. In fact, I told Ted off one time.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the third time I was working there, I had to stay late to get some voice tracking done for the weekend. It was very late Friday night. Nobody was there. I heard the footsteps, turned around, and Ted was standing in the doorway of the production room. And I told him, I said, Ted, you're distracting me. I can't do my job properly. You're going to have to leave me alone. I never saw him again.
Now, are you going to write a sequel to your book that Ghosts That Rock?
I don't know. One of my books is set in a radio station in New Orleans, and my writers group said, you really do need to kind of put Ted into a sequel to that book. And I said, well, I'll think about it. I don't know.
All right. Well, Julie Page Morgan, thanks so much. How can people follow you?
You can find me at my website at juliepagemorgan.com, and there's links there to Twitter and Facebook and all that other good stuff.
Well, thanks for sharing your spooky radio experience with us.
I'm so glad you had me, Larry. Thank you.
My name's Len O'Kelly. I'm a visiting assistant professor of broadcasting at Grand Valley State University in Allendale, Michigan. And before doing that, I spent 27 years on the air in a variety of different markets, from as small as Macomb, Illinois, up to Chicago itself. Fall of 1990, I took a job at 97X in Davenport, Iowa, in the Quad Cities, WXLP, which is in a cool old building, if you know Davenport. It was the old, I forget the name of it, but they got a funeral home and turned that into the radio station. So already, as I'm being hired, they used to call it on the air the Rock and Roll Mansion. And it was this giant, old, built in the 20s, huge mansion. And you walk in and it's just this impressive structure. And after I started working there, I got to hear the whole story of the building, right? There was only one radio station in there at the time. Now, with consolidation, there's probably, you know, what, 20 or 30 stations in one building. But at the time, it was just one. So we only used the downstairs of the building, right? There was a full basement. There was a freight elevator that was in there for moving bodies from the chiller up to the, you know, to the main floor where the chapels would have been. That went all the way up to the upstairs of the building, which is where the display rooms were for selling things like caskets and urns. The embalming room was still intact, and the morning show was using that as their office. So you went in there, and there was, you know, tiled floor, big drain in the middle, work lights, and stuff would move around in there at night too. So my job, I wrote the copy for the station and did 7 to midnight. So I started out as a part-timer. I got promoted up to nights. By the second night I'm on the air, the power goes out. So I'm sitting in this place in the dark for 3 hours, you know, thinking about what's all that goes with it. And nothing happened that night, fortunately. But every other night I'd be there, I'd get off the air about 11 o'clock. And the production room was set up in such a way so that you were at the back of a room that had windows at the far opposite end, right? So I'd be there working, you know, putting together stuff on a four-track mixer. And there was always this feeling of being watched. You know, 1 in the morning, I'd be mixing stuff, and I'd be like, sure, somebody was standing right there. Never saw anybody, right? Where my office was for writing copy was in the front of the building. So there was a conference room. When you came in the front door, there was a conference room to the right with a door that went into a back office, and they had since closed that door. But I was told that the way the building had been used was the conference room was the reception area for the family, and then the office was one of the viewing chapels. So about where my desk was where people would be laid out and displayed, all right? So I'm sitting in the office one day having a conversation with a coworker, and my desk was up against a wall and had a bookshelf over it. And I'm seated this way having a conversation with a coworker of mine. I forget what about. And in the middle of the conversation, she gets this terrified look on her face, like the proverbial just seen a ghost, right? And she's just staring at me like this. And I'm like, what's going on? And all she can do is point, and she's pointing at the bookshelf above my desk. So I turn around and look, and this was back in the day when we got spots on reel-to-reel. You know, the Coors would send their tape dub, and all those would go through my office, and I had a stack of them up on the shelf. And at the moment that Teresa, my coworker, pointed up to the shelf, I look up, and I see all my reel-to-reel tapes are falling off the shelf one at a time. As if some unseen being is standing there with a finger on the end, just flip, 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 going down the line. Wow. And we just stood there and watched that for a minute, and I thought, huh, okay. There was another night where I was there nights, and we did, this was back in the days of in-house research, where you'd have, we would have people whose job it was to call people up and play music hooks over the phone and, you know, do a little test, do you like this song, do you not like this song? And they were on their break in the kitchen, and I was walking down from the studio to see what was going on, and I was having a conversation with the call-out staff, and all of a sudden we heard this terrible crash come from upstairs, from where the morning show office was. And they're all like, you need to go check it out. I'm like, I don't want to go check it out. I know more about this building than I've let on. This so I said, fine, I'll go check it out. So I go upstairs and look in the morning show office, and all of their chairs, there were two desks, you know, there were two chairs, and they had like a third, all the chairs were thrown into the corner. And I know that they didn't leave the building that way. I mean, they were not the type of guys who, that wouldn't be something they'd do, and it was after we'd heard the crash. So I kind of came down the stairs and said, oh, everything's fine, don't go up there, you know, but everything's fine. So I was there about a year. That's not why I left. I got a different opportunity and left. But I was told that years later, one of the subsequent morning shows brought a psychic into the building for a Halloween segment, and they ended up leaving, saying, I'm not staying in this building. So whatever was going on in there freaked out the psychic. So, you know, and I know that's a hotly debated topic, the idea of psychics, take what you will, but I know at least one that got scared out of her wits being in that place. It was funny because when the first time I went, something went missing. I'm like, I can't find the copy. Where did it go? One of the other women in the office said, oh, it's either Ben or Gus. They moved it. I'm like, who are Ben and Gus? They're like, they're the ghosts. Okay, so we've named them. All right, fine. Nice. And this was before the incident where the stuff was moving. So, you know, it became, I thought of it more of a joke as anything else. It was like, I can't find my way. Yeah, we'll blame Gus for it. It's his fault this time, you know. But then once I saw the stuff moving around and whatnot, I thought, maybe there is really a Gus here that I need to be there with. It was part of the radio station. It was part of the deal.
I got to tell you, I love me a good ghost story and a good haunted radio station. This is tremendous. These are the untold stories of radio, right? You know, there's a whole book here, I'm sure. And what I love is that everybody's naming their ghosts. You got Ben and Gus, Ted, William, and Catherine. You know, I think when I die, I'll come back and haunt a radio station or two just so I can end up on a podcast, I suppose. Happy Halloween.
Everybody's voting for the friendly voice of radio, the people's choice. East Coast, West Coast, in between, it's radio that makes the scene.
Keeping along with our Halloween theme, I've got some a scary prediction to pass along. Gordon Burrell of Burrell & Associates made this prediction in a presentation to RAIN this week. By 2024, half of terrestrial radio stations will disappear. Yeah, what he says is, car dashboard options diminish the AM/FM radio listening. Half the terrestrial radio stations disappear. Only those with strongest and most valuable audiences remain. Smartphones become radios. We're going to try to get Gordon on the program here in the future so he can expound on this some more, because this has people raising their eyebrows going, well, 2024 is not too far away. 10 years, wow. Okay. A horrifying on-air moment. You know, everybody can be a smartass, but it's horrifying when your personal asides are broadcast to thousands because you accidentally left your mic open and you didn't know it. Such was the case for Ginger Chan on the KTLA morning show in Los Angeles.
My wife calls, it's like, since when did you become the fat guy on that show? No. It's the same
thing. He's always been.
Oh, no!
Ginger!
Oh, no! Oh, my God!
he didn't know.
He's always been. Yeah, she meant that for herself, not for anybody to hear it. Just a reminder, keep your microphone potted down unless you want people to hear what you're saying. A spooky radio promotion. Metro Radio and TFM Breakfast Show presenters Steve and Karen locking one listener in a coffin in a bid to win £1,000. Now, the one listener, once they're chosen, will be locked in for 1 hour. And the only way to win the prize is if they correctly guess when the 60 minutes has passed up.
Steve and Karen's lockup.
Can he ever breathe?
Ah! Oh my good God.
The button's been pressed.
You hit that button just too early.
Steve and Karen's lockup. Back tomorrow from 7.
That's from last year's promotion. Listeners at home can steal the cash by correctly predicting when they think the contender will press the buzzer. So you can text in 45 minutes or 30 minutes or 57 minutes. And they've had thousands and thousands of people playing along. So it's an interesting, fun Halloween promotion. And Billboard Magazine, out with the top 10 Halloween songs this year. We'll just count them down, all right? Just like we would on a countdown music show, right? I feel like Ryan Seacrest now, or Casey Kasem. I feel more like Ryan Seacrest, though, than Casey Kasem, and I'll let you figure out why. Number 10 is This Is Halloween by Danny Elfman. We'll just play a little bit.
To see something strange.
Come with us and you will see the sorrow of Halloween. This is Halloween, this is Halloween. Pumpkins creep in the dead of night. This is Halloween, everybody make a scene.
So the number 9's, Billboard Magazine's number 9 Halloween song is Highway to Hell from AC/DC. Number 8, Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult. Number 7, from Radiohead, Creep. Number 6, Stevie Wonder with Superstition.
There is superstition. Writing on the wall. There is superstition. Let us bow to fall. 13-month
You knew this one was coming. Number five Halloween song from Billboard Magazine, Werewolves of London, Warren Zevon. Now, the number 4 song is a little bit of a surprise because it's a new song from 2013 by Pop Evil, probably James Gridlin's favorite band, Deal with the Devil.
Light it up, light it up, light it ride. When you're high, who you're flying for?
That just scares me to listen to it. Ray Parker Jr. in at number three with Ghostbusters. This one makes me happy. The video's great. They've got all these neon glow-in-the-dark outlines around the furniture.
There's something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
If there's something weird and it don't look good, who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
You know. Are you afraid of ghosts?
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Another fun one, Monster Mash. Bobby, Boris Pickett, and the Crypt Kickers.
When my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
And of course, this list, the top 10 Halloween songs from Billboard magazine, wouldn't be complete without Thriller from Michael Jackson. And we have a radio stuff update. Last week, we told you about the San Francisco radio stations refusing to play Lord's song, Royals, because the Giants and the Kansas City Royals were battling in the World Series. Well, San Francisco won in 7 games. So immediately afterwards, the radio station, Live 105, played the song 4 times in a row.
And we'll never be royals.
So I was really happy to see that people were tweeting about it from San Francisco last night. Hey, the radio station's playing Royals over and over and over again. And I think that is tremendous heads-up programming, so hats off to the folks at Live 105 in San Francisco. All right, that is the radio stuff this week. Email me at radiostuffpodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to read my blog and watch the new Ask Larry video blog at thelarrygifford.com. And think of me if you're in need of a radio consultant or talent coach. You can find more radio stuff at radiostuffpodcast.com. Have fun, be creative, support each other, and share your radio stuff.
The foulest stenches in the air, the funk of 40,000 years, and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver.